flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yes, it's a Thursday, so let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where our friend Lucy Bird from BetQL joins us, as she does on every Thursday. And Lucy, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start. It's cold outside, so let's try to warm things up a little bit with a little baseball twofer for you. So, number one, your thoughts on the Dodgers signing everyone, and number two, Ichiro not being a unanimous Hall of Famer. Thoughts there?
Yes, well, I have thoughts, so many thoughts on both of them. Good afternoon. It is insane that the Dodgers are allowed to do this, because who is to say they don't sign every player who's available? Like, they clearly have endless money to spend. So the fact that they can do this is crazy. There should be a certain number of players each team is able to sign each offseason. And I know that's unrealistic, but at this point, it's crazy. So it is also boring, because you see a player who is available and it's like, oh, he's narrowed it down to three teams. You know that those three teams are getting dragged along until it finally he decides on the Dodgers. It's always going to be just the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. The poor Blue Jays are always the last team left holding the flowers and being turned down. So I think it's ridiculous, and I think it should not be allowed. Another ridiculous thing is that Ichiro was not unanimous, because I don't understand how you don't vote for him unless you think, well, he's definitely in, so I'm going to use my vote on someone else. But you can vote for a bunch of guys.
Right.
So why not Ichiro? Unless you want Rivera to be the only player ever to be unanimous. And either way, he basically was. Like, he should have just been unanimous. 99.7 is so dumb, because he should have been 100. But I think it's stupid, and I don't know who that writer is, but hopefully one day we find out and then discredit everything that writer ever does, because what the hell? I don't understand. So it should have been unanimous, but in the Hall of Fame nonetheless.
All right, Lucy, let's get to some nonsense. I recently joined a movie club with my friends like 4 or 5 months ago. We have themes, and the guys like to make fun of me for being dumb and not knowing anything. And this month,
checks out.
This month, we did The Godfather. I have never seen The Godfather. So I watched Godfather 1, 2 days ago, and we're watching Godfather 2 all together with a movie club tomorrow. Have you ever seen The Godfather?
Okay, so this is going to be very controversial. I love The Sopranos. I love Goodfellas. I was literally just watching The Sopranos. I've been watching it all the way through for the 10th time. I have seen bits and pieces.
Oh.
each Godfather, it is boring. I don't like the Godfather. I think, and I, because my brother loves it, all of them. I think all of them. I don't know which one people don't like, two or three or whatever.
Three is a little lame-o, but it's good. It's just not as good as the first two.
Okay, that is good to know, because they're, so I have, whenever I see them, I'm like, it's not a good movie, and my brother won't even speak to me about it. Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Because, you know, how many people can't be wrong, like millions of people who love it can't be wrong, but I don't really, it doesn't grab me. I don't like The Godfather, and I don't think it's a good movie, but I know everyone would disagree. You know, take that, maybe take that take to the movie club and see what they say.
Okay.
Yeah, Bone. I put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I enjoyed the first one.
Wow.
I also haven't watched it from beginning to end. So this is on me.
That's fine.
Tim, you're not the dumb one. I am, because I'm the one that did not sit down and watch it.
It's a commitment.
So my opinion. Right, it's a commitment. It's my opinion is based on 5 seconds I've seen where it was boring to me.
Yeah, those 5 seconds can be boring.
Exactly.
Yes.
Blink and you miss it.
Yes.
We are going to have another AFC Championship game in Arrowhead. That means obviously a lot of Taylor Swift, because I guess the boys tell me T. Swift is on hiatus from touring and whatever. And then do you know the nature of this Caitlin Clark thing? Like, has she been a longtime Swiftie? Has she already been in Taylor's orbit? Do you know anything about why she is now in this inner circle?
Yes. So this is a mystery to me as well. Yes, Taylor is on a break from touring, and she, I will say, has never looked better. Her look last week was her best look yet. Her hair looks phenomenal. Everything's phenomenal. So what I saw was a blind item rumor that Blake Lively wanted to go to the game with Taylor, but because of the controversy surrounding her now, which I just read up on last night, I have been kind of out of the orbit of that.
Yeah, I'm not hip with
that. Lawsuit. So the Justin Baldoni lawsuit.
It's a lot.
Something like that?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Like dueling $400 million slander lawsuits. And I mean, it's crazy. Man. He's suing the New York Times.
Yes, for another hundreds of millions, too. So because of that, Taylor, rumor has it that she said to Blake, you can't come to the game with me because it would be too much of a distraction. They are very good friends. Blake Lively's been at many games with Taylor. So
wouldn't you think now's the time to have her back? Like, that's a controversial stance in and of itself, no?
Yeah, whose side is she on? It begs the question.
It does.
But I would assume that because of that, she then had Caitlin Clark step in. And I think Caitlin Clark is a Swiftie, I would assume. She brought her to the game. So I think so. I guess Caitlin Clark is in the orbit now of Taylor Swift. So I guess so. But that is the rumor that she turned down Blake. I wonder if she will going forward. And God forbid to the Super Bowl, because I do not have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But, you know, who knows if Blake Lively will make an appearance at either one of the final two games.
Your handicap, Blake Lively, was she saving her for the championship game or the Super Bowl, or no Blake Lively in the booth or in the suite as long as the Chiefs are playing?
I think no Blake Lively.
Out for the postseason.
She's out. Too much of a distraction. Wow. Taylor has to keep a clean image, and this lawsuit is very controversial.
Damn.
So, and there's two sides to this that are very hard line opinion on many different issues. So I think Taylor wants to stay out of that fray and keep the focus is on Travis, because Trav is the one playing. So, and you know, perhaps they will get married sometime this year. Mm-hmm. So she wants to, I think she wants to keep the spirits happy and spirits high for the game. So I would think no.
We're talking to Lucy Burge, Inside Access here on The Fan. We'll get to your best bets in a minute, but I do have a question. What's going on with the Weather Channel music? What is that about?
Yes. So I saw a tweet about the Weather Channel music. And it brought back all of these memories of how much I loved Weather Channel music, and a sketch that I wrote in a comedy writing class about Weather Channel music. And it is very slept on. So because people don't really watch the Weather Channel anymore, because you have weather's just everywhere. So why would you? But the music, I guess, you know, Gen Z doesn't know this, the Weather Channel would have music going. It's yes. jazzy music going on in the background, and I loved it. And I thought it was it's a very niche tidbit about how society was before computers and the Weather Channel music. I think bring it back for 2025.
Can we hear more about that sketch?
Oh yes. So it was a sketch where someone was having a dinner party, cocktail party at their home. And they had Weather Channel music going in the background as the music for the party. And people were like having a great time and loving the music. And then it would cut in because it would do the weather like on the 10th right. or whatever. It'd be like, in your area, it is 55 yes. degrees. And people would start realizing and be like, wait a minute, what is this? And then come to find it's the Weather Channel. I thought it could be a real life scenario.
I will confess my freshman year at Syracuse, which from a weather that's a shock to the system going from Baltimore to Syracuse. Yeah. And my roommate was from New Orleans, and it was even a bigger shock for him.
Yes.
And when we would get up early for 8 a.m. classes, and the first thing we'd do is turn on that little TV, because that's how you found out just how depressing and miserable is it going to be in Syracuse today when I walk to class. And we did root for certain songs, like on that's the weathers right. on the 8s or the 10s. Like there was that one that would go like, do-do-do-do. Do 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 do. You know the one I'm talking about? Like that was the jam. Like if you got that one, you're like, all right, maybe today won't totally suck.
Yeah, exactly. And so rooting for songs on the Weather Channel, you know where else I used to root for songs to come up was playing Sims, because there would be piano music or different songs that would play in the background of Sims, and I would so hope for my favorite one to come up next while I was building a house with the cheat code, and I would really hope for that. So background music is something that I think should come back. Instrumentals should come back this year.
All right, Lucy, before we let you go, it's championship weekend. Who do you like?
Yes, so I am taking, first of all, the Bills. I am taking the Bills +2 to cover against the Chiefs. This could be a close game. The Bills could even lose by one, which would be sad for me because I like the Bills to beat the Chiefs and keep them from going to the Super Bowl yet again, because talk about boring, them returning to the Super Bowl, boring. So I have the Bills +2, and then I have the Commanders +6. Would be great if they won, because a Bills-Commanders Super Bowl would be fascinating, but I think they can at least cover this. The Eagles did not cover that 7-point spread, which I'm still angry about, so it's for spite as well. Very angry that they did not do that. But I think that they will not cover here either, because the Commanders are also averaging 29 points scored per game. Eagles averaging 27. So I think the Commanders have a good chance here, +6.
Let the people know where they can find you, Lucy.
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lucille Burge and on the BetQL Network.
You're the best, Lucy. Thanks so much. We'll chat next week.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Purple rain in the forecast coming up next. And John Harbaugh talks about his offense coordinator, Todd Monken. And could we possibly have a third year of Monk as the OC? We'll discuss next here on the...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we had the end of the season press conference yesterday, and one thing on the topic of our minds, and I think a lot of fans' minds, is the future of Todd Monken. Will he get a head coaching job? As some of the seats are being filled, and he has not filled one of them yet. And John Harbaugh yesterday talked about how meaningful it will be to get Todd Monken back.
It will be very meaningful if and when we get Todd Monken back. I'm very hopeful that we will. Have you heard something? Sounds like you're tapped in pretty good. Was there any jobs open yet? Are all the jobs closed?
Jaguars, Raiders.
So that's not a done deal yet. But Todd Monken will be a great head coach. I'll just say that he's a really good football coach. He's an old school football coach with kind of a new school and a creative mind. Always creating. He works well with the staff. We have a great staff around him. So because of that, it'll be very meaningful if and when we get him back and we continue forward. And I really am excited about 3.0, that iteration of this offense going forward, because we found ourselves through the last offseason and into this season, in terms of how we wanted to organize the offense and tie it all together and use the different platforms that you can use. We're kind of in every world offensively, and it's not easy to do that, but we can do that because of our quarterback, because our quarterback's capable of living in all those different offensive worlds, and that's tough for a defense to defend. How we can continue to evolve that so we can operate it more efficiently, more effectively, more quickly, with less verbiage and all those kind of things, where everybody's on even more and more on the same page. That's what we'll be striving for.
That living in any world at any time, I think, is obviously one of the things that makes this offense unique. It's one of the reasons why they ran for 3,000 and threw for 4,000. It's one of the reasons Lamar should certainly be a three-time MVP before his age 28 season. But I do wonder, just listening to him talk yesterday, it got my head spinning about, because they can do so many different things in so many different packages with so much different personnel, and because Lamar is the ultimate weapon in so many different ways, if that almost becomes, I can't say like it's a negative, but I almost wonder if at times that sense of, well, we could also do this, we could also do that, we could also do this, blah, blah, gets them away from some of the more obvious sort of just more regular or more traditional things that if they stuck to, I think they're maybe going to back-to-back Super Bowl.
Could case in point be that trick play to Ronnie Stanley at the goal line?
And why we only ran the 6-0 line one time, you know what I mean? Well, we had all this other stuff we could do too. Like, why we get away from certain things maybe a little more quickly than we should, because you've got so much other stuff that's worked at so many other times. But man, on this day against that opponent, we probably needed to see. I know it would cut out a lot of other stuff, mm-hmm. but if you did that 10 times, a couple, like, and you started the game in it, it might have changed some things. If you didn't feel like you had so much interchangeability, right? Like, because it's very hard to always have that right call at the right time, and to be, you're switching and toggling, and there's so much available to you, but sometimes less is more.
So I ask you, Jason, it seems like, if I'm reading the tea leaves, there's some reporting that Pete Carroll is gaining momentum in Vegas with the Raiders, and Brian Schottenheimer gaining momentum in Dallas with the Cowboys. So those two seats.
I don't even know that that's possible. I don't think, I mean, Brian Schottenheimer gaining momentum.
Yeah,
that is.
I never thought I'd say that. But
I just think, I think Jerry Jones is falling deeper and deeper below the earth's surface, and he eventually will bounce off Brian Schottenheimer, and I guess there'll be a match.
So Jacksonville, which is a mess. They just fired Trent Baalke. That seems to be the one
place.
They've
had a Zoom conversation with him.
Yeah, that seems to be the one place where Monk could end up, right? Otherwise, he's coming back.
Look, the profile fits. They want an offensive guy. I mean, this Robert Saleh thing, come on. They need to get Trevor Lawrence on track. And Monken is that blend of pro and college, old school, new school, everything that Harbs was talking about. He knows he's very good at what he does, but he carries his ego in a way that I think would endear him to the entire football team, not just the offense. I think he's been around long enough to understand that he's not going to put his foot in his mouth and step in his own poop the way a lot of these young coaches do. I don't want Lamar to lose him, because I'm fascinated to see what, to Harb's point, 3.0 of this looks like. But I wonder if part of 3.0 is trimming some of the fat. Like, we used to talk about, G-Row would talk about his vault, and we'd be like, you silly fool, do three things. We all know what you do and what you refuse to do. I almost feel like the vault is ever growing for Monk, and especially for one game seasons. Man, I kind of wonder if we need to slim down a little bit.
Yeah, simplify it and kind of let the game dictate it a little bit. Obviously, come out with your script, and if something's working, lean into it at that point and continue to lean into it. And I think that logic definitely makes sense, though, what you're saying. And we talk all season long, and Lamar's talking about the pick-your-poison offense. We have so many fancy toys that we can play with and do different things, but maybe it doesn't need to be that complex every single week.
By the way, Purple Rain brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So I wanted to let the people know that.
Quality meats and cheeses.
Yes, since 1939. So if you're looking for quality meat or cheese and cheese, Dietz and Watson, that's where you go.
Put the meats and the cheese together.
They're
delicious. It's a wonderful thing.
They are delicious.
You haven't tried it.
Yeah, it's delicious.
You could put them together.
Have you ever heard of a
try
sandwich?
This thing? And then here's what you do. take the bread out of the loaf.
Yes.
Put one piece down.
Yes. Hey, coming up next, Ravens presser yesterday. Brian Wacker was there. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. What did he think of what Harbs and EDC had to say? We'll ask him next here on The Fan. Ravens season is over. Their end of season press conference was yesterday as Eric DeCosta and John Harbaugh met with the media, which includes our friend Brian Wacker, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun, who joins us now courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Brian, thank you always for your time. We appreciate it. So we're going to do a six-pack later in the show of our main takeaways from yesterday's press conference. What was your main takeaway from yesterday?
Well, that I think the overriding theme is that, you know, let's run it back. I mean, this is going to be largely the same team next year. I mean, sure, there will be some changes. There will be some decisions that have to be made, particularly on guys like Ronnie Stanley, a free agent, Patrick McCary, a free agent. You know, but I think by and large, you know, you look at it, this is a team that got to the precipice of the AFC Championship a year ago, got to within a game of the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think there's reason to believe that they've got the nucleus, they've got the parts to get back there again.
Brian, I think the two biggest decisions, Ronnie Stanley, who's an impending unrestricted free agent, and Mark Andrews entering the final year of his contract. Do either of them, both of them, return next year?
Well, I think Mark Andrews certainly returns. That seemed to be the indication from Eric DeCosta yesterday morning. You know, there is steadfast belief in him. And now, look, can they afford to keep Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler, who are also both entering the final year of their rookie deals? In the long term, no. But there is still a year left on Andrews' deal. They can extend that out a little bit, I would imagine, and go from there. So I do think he'll be back next season. Of course, we heard from Mark Andrews on Instagram earlier today for the first time. So, look, I think all signs point to Mark Andrews coming back next year for sure. Ronnie Stanley, you know, is a little more interesting. You know, this is a guy who's probably going to command in the neighborhood of $15 million a year on the open market, a guy who was, you know, not the best left tackle in football, but was very good, had a very good season and a resurgent season. And, you know, guys of that ilk at left tackle just are hard to find. And so, you know, to some team with a young quarterback desperate or perhaps even thinking that they're a couple of moves away from making a run, do they just throw a boatload of money at Ronnie Stanley and make him an offer he can't refuse? I do think Stanley would want to stay here. I think he's a prideful guy. I think he likes being in Baltimore, just likes the vibe of the locker room. I think it's all very comfortable for him. But you never know at the end of the day. The two sides are going to have to come to an agreement on a number. I think push comes to shove. I do think they will find a way to bring Ronnie Stanley back.
Wondered your thoughts on the Dean Pease situation and maybe just the defensive coaching staff in general. Pease clearly not going to be as hands-on as he was a year ago. Do you think they need to be forthright in finding someone else with some, well, certainly more experience than anybody else on this staff has running defenses to be a part of this from the onset? And what do you think about the totality of that defensive staff? Two of the last 3 years, they've pretty much been a well below league average defense for the first half. And they fixed it with a trade, and they fixed it in part this year by simplifying things and moving a bunch of personnel around and Dean Pease coming in the building. But I don't know. Do you think that those kind of discussions are happening internally?
Well, I think certainly John Harbaugh will look at the defensive side of the staff. Look, Zach Orr will certainly be back. Dean Pease, as we heard yesterday, will take a step back and not have as much of a full-time role, now 75 years old. That said, yeah, I think they will look at that, not just from the coaching standpoint, but personnel standpoint. And you think back to guys like Trenton Simpson and him getting benched for, you know, Malik Harrison and Chris Board in that rotation. Certainly you don't want to go into the year with that position in flux. And I think you look at the secondary as well. You know, Marcus Williams clearly has played his last game as a Raven. It's been a while since he actually played, but there'll be a change there. You know, they probably need to bring in another safety. Ardarius Washington, terrific this year. But again, this is a guy who's got an injury history. He can also play that nickelback spot. So, you know, they're going to need to bring in some players on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, they don't have a ton of cap space. This is not a team that's going to be a big player in free agency. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do both in free agency and, of course, the draft, which, you know, experts say it's not really that good of a draft this year, and the Ravens have 11 draft picks, or should have about 11 draft picks.
We're talking with Brian Waggert's Inside Access here on The Fan. Brian, Eric and John seem to imply they feel like Justin Tucker fixed what was going on with him. Are you confident? Would you do anything different in training camp and bring in at least more than a camp leg, some sort of competition for Tucker this offseason?
Yeah, I would absolutely bring in a camp leg, competition rather, as opposed to just, you know, another body. Why not? I do think Justin Tucker has probably fixed his ills, and those things will only get better, you know, as he gets into the off season and goes through training camp and all of those things. I mean, guys, if you look at kickers, the greatest kickers in the history of this game, guys who've been around for a long time, you know, that are all-time kickers, guys like Morton Anderson and on down the line. I mean, when you play for that long and you have that level of greatness that Tucker's had, you know, you're inevitably going to have a down season or two. Clearly, that's what he had this year. Now, of course, the biggest question is, is this the beginning of the end? I don't think it is. I think we saw, you know, him fix himself. Now, granted, he didn't really have – you know, those clutch end-of-game field goal moments from a long distance in the playoffs, so that didn't really present itself. But I would not be worried about Justin Tucker.
Brian, we'll see if Todd Monken does, in fact, land a job this offseason. But if he does, is his replacement internal for you? Is that T. Martin, or would they go outside the organization?
Boy, that's, you know, that's a great question. I think, you know, I think they would perhaps go in internal and go with T. Martin. That said, you know, that's taking a bit of risk. Nothing against T. Martin, but, you know, he's not been in that role before. And, you know, we saw the success that Todd Monken has had. So certainly if he were to leave for another job, you've got to figure out a way to fix that. You know, Lamar certainly has a great rapport with T. Martin, so that helps a lot when making those sorts of decisions. You know, that said, would I be surprised at this point if Todd Monken were to go elsewhere? A little bit. I mean, you just look at the landscape of around the league and what's available and the way things have played out. And it seems, you know, less and less likely with each passing day that he would be leaving this year.
All in all, though, a tepid offseason, I guess, right? I mean, we're thinking we've talked a little bit here, like a Khalil Mack type guy, maybe to beef up the defense. Ooh. So basically a one-year commitment, try to keep him on a pitch count, re-sign a few guys, and then, you know, try to knock it out of the park in the draft. Is that basically what we're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I that's what they do, right?
Right.
I mean, they bring in that veteran defensive player who can come in and have an impact for one or two seasons. They make a couple of smart draft picks. You know, maybe some of these young guys that we didn't see much of this year, maybe they will develop and be more significant contributors this coming season. You know, but I think you look at the core of this roster, and they're in good shape.
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously starts with Lamar. Derrick Henry, I'm sure, will get extended. You've got Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman. You've got Likely and Andrews, at least for another year. And, you know, you look at the defensive side of the ball, Kyle Hamilton, Roquan Smith. Certainly Roquan did not have the year.
No, he did
I
not.
I think that merited an all-pro designation. But, you know, you'd hope he would bounce back. And guys like Matt Ibike and Travis Jones as well up front. So, you know, they've got pieces, and then they'll just try to fit in around those. And like I said, I think that was the prevailing theme the other day, is that, hey, we like what we've got. We've, you know, obviously disappointed with the way the season turned out. But, you know, if you strip it down, they're in pretty good position.
Brian, one last thing before we let you go. You mentioned Rashad Bateman. Him and Kyle Van Noy are interesting to me. Van Noy's got no guaranteed money left. I think he's due to make $4.5 million. And Bateman signed that incredibly team-friendly deal in the offseason. Could they be throwing a little sweet and low in their iced tea, so to speak, a little sweetener for these guys before next season?
Well, yeah, certainly it would be worth watching. I'm sure, to your point, that was an extremely friendly team-friendly deal for Rashad Bateman, a guy who caught, I think, what, 11 touchdown passes this year, and certainly proved to be an elite route runner. Kyle Van Noy with a career year in terms of sacks. So, yeah, I think both of those guys will find a way to you know, sweeten those deals a little bit, you know, given what's ahead for them.
Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Brian, always great, man.
Thank you
so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Coming up next, we get to the Justin Tucker of it all, and you heard Brian Wacker. He seems to be pretty confident that he's figured out what ails him. Are we sold that Tucker will be fine next year? We'll tell you next year on The Fan. Justin Tucker's low point was arguably December 1st against the Eagles, where he missed two field goals and an extra point in a 24-19 loss to the Eagles, but he did not miss a kick after that. Six games, two in the playoffs, four in the regular season, made all his kicks. At the press conference yesterday, John Harbaugh spoke about Justin Tucker.
You know, the thing about the Justin Tucker thing, and we had a great conversation yesterday, and a really long, honest conversation, and it was great, because we talk all the time, and he's really a good guy, and he's a mature guy, and he's a thoughtful guy. You know, maybe we all saw that Justin Tucker is human. You know, maybe we got a chance to see that. It's hard to be a great kicker in this league and be as consistent as he's been. And he ran into that this adversity probably a lot later in his career than most of these guys do. But it's something that probably had to happen in terms of his growth as a player, and even as a performer. You know, it's like golf. It's like making a great drive or a great putt time and time again. And he went through this thing that was really more here than it was here, because he was kicking so well in practice, and he knew exactly what the format was. Stay in balance, follow through, hit it clean. And that was kind of his swing thoughts that he would make in practice. And then taking those to the game under the duress of having those misses when he didn't do that, you know, when he didn't get himself somewhat in the right frame of mind to be able to make that type of contact on the ball that he wanted, to pull himself out of that was going to be the test. And the fact that he went through that, pulled himself out of it, because there's only him, only he can do it. He's the only one in his mind that can do that. If you're a high-level performer, maybe you understand that more than those of us who aren't athletes at that level. And that's the thing I was proud of him for, and I think that's going to serve him well going forward in his career.
You heard John Harbaugh mention more here than here. He was talking about between his ears.
Pointing to his head.
Yes.
Which we talked for weeks about, like, you know, all the stuff they're selling. Like, nah, this is mental.
So let's.
We know what's wrong, and it's a little thing, and
So, okay, let's say he's beyond it. And we talked earlier about guys like Chris Boswell had a horrible year a couple years ago, and now he's one of the best kickers in football. Are you confident that at age 35, Justin Tucker can be back where he was?
Look, Harb said it himself. He's human. I don't think he's ever going to be in the form he used to be in. I think we are past the days of anything, you know, under 60 being thought of as it's a shocker if he doesn't make it. I don't think the days of he'll probably be the only kicker in the league who doesn't miss an extra point this year. I don't think we're getting back to that. I think you need to find a middle ground between, you know, where he was in 2022 versus where he's been the last couple of years. And I think it will be difficult to get back there. And I do think he's a prisoner of his own success. And that plays on your mind. And I think if this was he had a little hitch in his giddy up, that would be a whole hell of a lot more comforting than him having to deal with his own, like, no longer being infallible. Superman now knows that kryptonite exists. And it got to him for a while. And he found an antidote for it very late in this season. But that doesn't mean that it didn't wreak havoc on his last couple of seasons. And it doesn't mean that, especially as these seasons go on that they're not going to have to recalibrate their expectations for him. And maybe you go for it a little more often. You I think your game management, we've been saying this for a couple of years now, and I think it's true now more than ever. You better manage your game offensively a little differently, because this is now two straight years where he's not what he used to be.
Yeah, there absolutely has to be a recalibration there. And now I feel a hell of a lot better now than entering the bye week, where if the season would have ended there, I'm slamming the panic button, draft a kicker, bring in a legit guy, have a legit training camp battle for the starting kicker spot. But I'm still at the point where you're not just bringing in some Joe Schmo.
Should be someone who's made a kick or two in the NFL before.
You're not.
Or just dominated that spring league, whatever the hell it's called.
You're not bringing in someone to just give him some rest. Someone that can push Justin Tucker. Am I saying it's a legit camp battle? I don't think I'm there anymore.
Not some kid with a notebook writing down everything Tucker says so that when he goes on these every Tuesday working out somewhere, he can rely on it.
A guy that has kicked in the league before. Well, I'd like to see that brought in.
Not even that, but to your point, Jason, like whoever this year's Brandon Aubrey or Bates, the kid from Detroit, those were guys that kicked in that other league and now have found themselves a job. They got attention of the league doing well in those other leagues.
Not somebody whose last kick was a college game in the Patriot League. Where the team was already 5-8 and weren't going anywhere. Somebody who's been somewhere kicking competitively, either on the NFL circuit, trying out for teams every week, or in the spring league, or somebody who got a chance to kick a few times this year. Maybe it went good, maybe it went bad, but at least it's someone who's made it, preferably made a professional kick.
I think the days of just having somebody here to give Justin Tucker a couple kicks
glorified off. Glorified water boy.
Yeah.
Bobby Boucher.
Those days have to be gone.
Like, Bobby Boucher, no more.
Yeah, we want Justin to have a rest, so we bring in some guy.
Medulla oblongata. Yeah.
Now, a couple of those guys have ended up getting jobs elsewhere.
Sure,
but, I think those days are over.
I hope.
Should be.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next here on the program, Ravens presser yesterday, a lot was said. What six-pack time? What were our six biggest takeaways from yesterday's press conference? We'll give you our list next here on The Fan.